In a year full of them, PolitiFact has chosen its annual Lie of the Year. Find out what it is in just a moment. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to catch up on all of our shows at WJCTnews.org or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, what do you think was the biggest political whopper of the year? And boy, do you have a lot to choose from. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, an update on Project Cold Case, plus singer Mama Blue in studio, all of that and more ahead. But first this hour, ignoring the facts, that's long been a staple of political speech. This year, though, we saw the advent of fake news, the phenomenon that swept, well, the news. Fake news is just made-up stories, manipulated to look like credible journalism, and spread online to a large and gullible audience willing to read, click, and share. This year, the prevalence of this fake news gave rise to a phenomenon that saw alarming speed. So what defines fake news? Stories like this one. Hillary Clinton is running a child sex ring out of a pizza shop. That was not true. Or thousands of people at a Donald Trump rally chanted, "We hate Muslims, we hate blacks, we want our great country back." Also disproven. Each year, the organization PolitiFact awards a Lie of the Year to take stock of a misrepresentation that arguably beat out all others in its total ridiculousness and its impact. In 2016, well, they barely knew where to begin. So who wins Lie of the Year for PolitiFact? It turns out fake news itself gets the dubious honor. Lou Jacobson is senior correspondent for PolitiFact, and he's on the line now with more. Lou, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And here's our question to callers. What do you think was the biggest political whopper of this election year? Give us a call as we talk to PolitiFact. The line to get on with us is 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show or weigh in on our Facebook page. And Lou, there was so much competition for this much closely watched PolitiFact Lie of the Year award. But you chose fake news. That's a really broad category. Why did you decide to go with that?
It is a broad category. You know, our Lie of the Year award, if you want to call it that, is something that we thought had the biggest impact. It's not necessarily that it's something that is the most wrong, the most intentionally wrong, but that it had a really large impact. And we do think fake news in 2016, despite some tough competition, really sort of captured the zeitgeist sufficiently to give it our Lie of the Year award.
And it really was remarkable how mainstream it became this year, in particular through shares on Facebook. People sharing very false stories, stories that had no truth at all on Facebook. NPR also reported they tracked down a man running a string of fake news sites from his house in L.A. He told NPR he made between $10,000 and $30,000 a month putting fake stories up on the web that got a lot of traffic and so got a lot of ad clicks. Facebook has belatedly started to respond to this. So what are your thoughts about how social media spread this misinformation so quickly?
Well, I think there's been a lot of discussion. I think it's accurate that Facebook and Google, the way that the searches are done and the algorithms which sort of produce the most clicked on stories and come up with search results, all of that together has sort of weaponized the idea of fake news. You know, it used to be if somebody had kind of a crackpot idea decades ago, you know, they might put out some pamphlets or they might tell their friends, but it didn't really spread very, very far. And people who sort of believed this this stuff didn't necessarily have a good and obvious way to get together and sort of, you know, bring their numbers up. But the web in general has sort of made it much simpler for people to get together in sort of communities where conspiracy theories and so forth generate and are propagated. But then once they sort of reach a critical mass, it's very easy to do Facebook posts, Twitter, and so forth, and spread that really widely, really quickly. And I will say this is not a sudden change. I've been at PolitiFact since 2009. PolitiFact's been operating since 2007. from the beginning, we saw things like chain emails, these sort of allegations about things that are just not true, but, you know, share to all your friends. And so this has been going on since we started and since I started work. The actual mechanism has sort of morphed over time a little bit. We still get a lot of chain emails, and that's still a big route for this sort of information to spread. But also things like Facebook memes were big for a while. We spent a lot of time checking first chain emails and then Facebook memes. And then the sort of preferred method appears now to be websites that have articles which have headlines which may not even be accurate in terms of what the story says, but often are kind of divorced from the truth. But they spread because of the non-human algorithms in Google and Facebook and so forth. Mm-hmm. And basically, there is no editor, gatekeeper, kind of saying, "Hey, let's think rationally about this. This can't possibly be true. So why are we letting this spread so much?" It's all mechanized. So that is, I think, brought it to more people's attention and made it a more serious issue. The way that social media works, things that are popular become more popular and more popular because they're sort of placed at the top of your Facebook feed, or you see it more often in Twitter. It's so easy to share. You don't even have to see the articles attached to you. You just see the headline. So it's just made things more difficult for folks like us in terms of trying to stop this from spreading.
In fact, people have become so balkanized in their beliefs. How do you feel about the fact that they don't necessarily trust your organization, PolitiFact, when you come out with ratings like this, like the lie of the year, or you rate a politician's statements, for example, you give claims like mostly false, false, or pants on fire. You've given Hillary Clinton plenty of pants on fire, but even more than Clinton, Donald Trump, I think, has a record for his number of pants on fire false statements.
Exactly.
Yeah. People have become so partisan that they might not necessarily even see you, PolitiFact, as a neutral arbiter of what is true and what is false.
Right. And while we certainly feel we're neutral, unfortunately, I think that ship has sailed. And not just in 2016. I think that ship has sailed, almost from the time we were born. It's gotten worse, but I think there are people who are in their bubble, and I got to say it's true on both sides, both parties, who just feel that that the mainstream media of which we're a part cannot be trusted, I still think it's a fraction of the population, not necessarily a majority, but a significant enough fraction that is troubling to us. That there's so little trust in institutions that people like us in some circles are seen as biased in our own way, even though we have a set system for journalistically researching all of our articles and trying to be as fair as possible. So that's a significant fraction of the of the population, but. We've never, certainly increasingly, have not tried to target what we're doing at those people because it's just sort of a fool's errand. They're just not going to believe us. What we've focused more on is the fraction, which I hope is the majority of people, who do feel like they have an open mind and they want to know more and aren't entirely closed off in their own bubble. Our approach has always been to target our work at people who are sort of ready to receive the message that the company is trying to deliver. And I do think that there are a lot of people. Obviously, we got I think it was just over 100 million page views in this past year, 2016, which is far beyond any of our previous years. So clearly, there's a demand among a certain segment, a significant segment of society, for some sort of neutral arbiter, or at least fairly neutral arbiter. And those are the people who we certainly care most about, because you could just bang your head against the wall with certain people who just are never going to believe us, anything that we say.
And we want to know what you think right now as we speak with Lou Jacobson. He's senior correspondent for PolitiFact, the organization founded about 10 years ago by the Tampa Bay Times. What do you think of their lie of the year? This year, PolitiFact chose fake news. What do you think was the biggest political whopper of 2016? We want your calls right now. It's 549-2937. Brian is in Jacksonville Beach. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you both for your work, Melissa and Lou.
Thank you.
And I think it's a good choice because there were so many weird stories, it would be hard to pick one. But one that drove me crazy, and it ties into the misleading headlines, was the claim that Hillary Clinton laughed about winning that rape case. In fact, when you play the tape, all of her laughter seemed to be at the expense of her client, her lost faith in polygraphs, the idea that prosecuting him was a miscarriage of justice. She couldn't help laugh when she mentioned that one. And she thought it was sad that the prosecution basically bungled their case and could only get him on lesser charges. He, in fact, wasn't fully exonerated, but they couldn't press their cases as fully as they probably should have. But that was one story that aggravated me. People could actually listen to that tape and get the opposite reaction I had. So thanks, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Brian.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah.
Just two quick thoughts on that, if I can. One is that's a good example. We did sort of partially check that as part of a larger thing probably over a year ago. One thing I think the caller brought up, which is important, is that people are basically ignoring evidence. They are seeing the headline. They're seeing the Facebook post. They're not actually reading or investigating or frankly, even having critical thinking. And I think that's a huge problem going forward, which our schools should really start to address. You know, the idea that you just shouldn't believe anything you see on the Internet. So many people do that if it fits with their preconceived notions about things. The sort of antidote to that would be to reemphasize critical thinking as a crucial part of being a citizen in a democratic country.
It's amazing. Let me just point this out. The website, another website, of course, your website is politifact.com.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed analyzed interest in fake news this year and found out fake stories got more shares, reactions, and comments during the final 3 months of the presidential campaign than real news stories from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other big news outlets. That is really disturbing to think that the New York Times is being outclicked by a bunch, and it truly was a bunch of teenagers in Macedonia that
exactly.
were being paid to write and distribute fake news stories on the Internet.
And make a pretty good living at it, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, now, and I was going to go to my second point as well, that there are some different flavors of fake news, if you want to call it that. So the sort of classic case are the Macedonian examples, where somebody somewhere is creating news that they know is completely fabricated and trying to basically pass it off as real sounding enough that people will click on it and that they get ad revenue out of it. So that's sort of your classic example of fake news, because it literally is fake. No one ever intended it to have any sort of basis in reality. There's a closely related, but it comes from a slightly different direction, which is sort of conspiracy theories. Often these either emanate from like particular radio broadcasters or website operators, or especially net message boards like Reddit and other kinds of social media, where people have these just crazy ideas shared among themselves, and then eventually sort of makes its way slowly or quickly to more mainstream gullible outlets. So those are things which the creator doesn't actually think are fake, but which any kind of person with a rational, critical thought would know are fake. And I would say Pizzagate is an example of that.
And by the way, the Pizzagate lie, which spread rapidly, which it promulgated this complete falsehood that Hillary Clinton was involved in a pedophilia ring run out of a pizza place in Washington, D.C., that resulted in an armed gunman going to that establishment to try to get to the bottom of this child sex ring. It could have resulted in people getting killed.
Exactly, exactly. So those are two kinds. Then there's a closely related one, which I would almost it's not fake news in that there may be a grain of truth to it, or some sort of reasonable, rational source that it came from, but is greatly exaggerated, and these are sort of hyper-partisan sites, and they do exist on both sides, probably a bit more popular on the right than on the left, but it's not totally absent on the left, sites that take a sort of grain of truth and sort of put such a heavy spin on it in their partisan direction, trying to rile people up, outrage people, and these are the kinds of things that tend to get shared a lot on Facebook, and don't really fit the definition of fake news in the same way that the first two categories I was talking about do, but are still part of the same problem where you have things that are really not kind of journalistically reliable, that are just taken by people and spread around really quickly. These are things like the like when Hillary Clinton had her health issues, people speculating about, you know, like she did actually, you know, collapse with a 9/11 event, and it turns out that she was sick, but people had all these wild theories about, you know, what it could be.
And let me ask you really quickly, Lou, you chose fake news, which is a sort of a neutral choice for lie of the year, rather than choosing one of Donald Trump's many falsehoods or something Hillary Clinton said on the campaign trail that was proven to be false.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to those who might look at your choice as a cop out? You didn't hold either of those candidates to the fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did hold Trump to the fire. He got our 2015 lie of the year statements by Donald Trump. So we'd already done that.
Okay.
You know, it's the kind of thing where we were trying to sort of set the pace a little bit, be a little bit different from 2015. But there is a lot of overlap because Trump clearly benefited from and courted in a lot of ways fake news or things closely related to fake news, like these hyper-partisan sites.
Let me just jump in, Lou, and get a couple of more callers on the air
for you. Yeah.
As we speak with PolitiFact's Lou Jacobson, Dan writes on our Facebook page, "The new move is to claim any story you don't agree with is fake. It's a sad time for the truth," he writes. Let's go to Chuck at the beaches now. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I wanted to talk about the fake news, but more so Facebook, because I believe fake news has been around forever. Example, was it a YouTube video with the issue where the four gentlemen were killed overseas? And then you had, this is more in the instance of fraud, where you had the Rolling Stone magazine, which created the incidents of the rape case. And then I went on Google yesterday and I pulled up fake news. And when Benjamin Franklin was trying to get the Revolutionary War started, he had a newspaper, and he created this article about all these people that had been killed, which would never happen and was a total lie. So we've always had fake news. And then the things that are new is the thing with the Russian hack, et cetera, of emails, and then the thing with Donald Trump, I think it's called Twitter, and with Facebook, which I don't do any of those things, but the idea that fake news is something new is totally whacked out. We had two major journalists, Dan Rather and another guy, they lost their jobs over fake news, and I'll conclude with this one. My favorite quotes is from the inspector in Casablanca. I'm shocked that there's fake news, and then there's two things that won't be in heaven, Facebook and yoga pants. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. Okay. Lou, he's right in that there is a long tradition in this country of spreading misinformation and falsehoods through journalism-looking entities. You know?
Sure.
But do you think this year, do you think this year stands out?
Well, I do think this year stands out because it's kind of a new apex in the wedding of fake news and social media, so that it can spread much more quickly and widely. The other thing I would say is I would distinguish between journalistic errors, and if they're discovered, they certainly richly deserve any criticism they get. But a report in a newspaper or on TV which is mistaken is different, because at least journalistic outlets, credible journalistic outlets, are trying to get the story right. And as humans, they may not get the story right at certain times. It doesn't mean that's fake news. It means that it's a failure of the vetting system. One of the key aspects of fake news is that there's no gatekeeper. It's almost like it's automated, and it goes straight from somebody's brain to social media to millions of people without anybody stopping to say, huh, I wonder if this is true. So failures of the mainstream media are certainly ripe for criticism, but at least there's a system set up so that various levels of editors are looking at stories and trying to come to a truthful outcome in a story.
And PolitiFact for years now has been doing this work too of finding the truth. Go to their website whenever you want to check some particular claim. And thanks so much for being with us, Lou Jacobson, senior correspondent for PolitiFact. We appreciate it.
Great. Thanks so much.
Much more still ahead later. Don't miss singer Mama Blue in studio. But up next, it's the season of giving. Why don't you give to us? Give us a call. Here's how.
Give us a call at 353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528, or you can go online at wjct.org. Good morning. I'm Kevin Mershart, producer for First Coast Connect. If you enjoyed that great conversation with Lou Jacobson at PolitiFact talking about the lies of the year, then give us a call and show your financial support. That's the kind of programming we love to put together here for First Coast Connect, because it brings a nice conversation and gets more in-depth of some of the stories that we're able to bring you every single day. And that was one that we got to put together yesterday. PolitiFact made the lie of the year yesterday. I was able to make a couple of emails and managed to get Lou set up for this morning, because I know that's the kind of thing you want to listen to. We bring you lively topics, important news of the day, the issues that are being discussed all around the country and locally here every day on First Coast Connect. And we're able to do that because of support from listeners just like you. So please make that phone call right now, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528, or go online at wjct.org. Now, don't forget, at $120 at a one-time pledge or just become a sustainer at $10 a month, we will send you our nice stainless steel water bottle. It says WJCT. It says thank you on it. You can bring it all around town and use it as much as you want. It's our thank you for you showing your financial support for this station. And if you want, how about an $80 one-time gift? And we'll send you the Hamilton mix tape from the great play Hamilton. You can't find tickets to this thing very easily, but we can send you the mixtape for $80. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Go online at wjct.org. We bring you all these great information, great programs, great guests here on First Coast Connect every single day. It's not easy. It's a lot of work Melissa and I put in to make sure this show is ready for you every day, but we know it's worth it. We know you enjoy it. We know a lot of the people listen to this station. A lot of people really love First Coast Connect in town. We have people who just always want to come on, politicians, authors, so like we have coming up right now, people who are important in the community want to hear from you, want to give you their opinions, tell you what's going on, and they want to hear from you when you make those phone calls. But make this phone call first, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. And thank you very much for your support for your public radio station.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
On the next Diane Reitman Show, the crisis in Syria and Russian interference in U.S. elections. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and former National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley on U.S. foreign policy and risks for the new administration. At 10 o'clock on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, the popular book series, The Grief Diaries, features hundreds of authors around the world sharing very personal accounts. Now, a local project is joining this esteemed series. Grief Diaries Project Cold Case is being published this month. Now, this book features 22 true stories that reveal the aftermath of losing a loved one to an unsolved crime. The idea is to raise awareness and offer comfort to others who've had to walk this same tragic path. Ryan Backman is the founder and executive director of Project Cold Case here in Jacksonville. He joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks.
And also with us in studio, Jacksonville resident Patty Lord. Her daughter, Carrie, was murdered in Virginia in 2004, and that case is still unsolved. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And in a moment, we'll hear Patty's story about Carrie, I should say, and what happened. But first, let's talk about The Grief Diaries and how Project Cold Case is becoming part of this. This will get your project out to a wider audience.
Absolutely. We know there's a lot of unsolved crimes in our country, and we know that the Grief Diaries anthology series helps a lot of people that are going through specific situations. And so I reached out to them and asked if they would be willing to publish a book about unsolved crimes.
And this will be the latest in a very esteemed series that's been going on for some time.
Absolutely. I think there's close to 20 titles in the Grief Diary series published now, and with another 10 or 15 in the works for the next year.
Mm-hmm. One of the stories is your story. Patty Lord, tell us about your daughter, Carrie.
Carrie was 28 years old when we lost her. She was a fun, loving person. She was very funny, had a bright smile, loved her family, loved this time of year. She loved Christmas. It's been very hard. Even it's been 12 years, but even though it's been 12 years, it's still very, very hard.
So, yeah, horrible to lose your daughter, and also horrible to have it be a cold case to not find the killer.
Yes, but you can't ever give up. You have to always have hope. And I've constantly stayed in contact with the detectives in Virginia, and this helps them to not forget Carrie. And to, even though the case is cold, I still stay in touch with them.
Now, you want to keep reminding them, keep investigating what happened
exactly,
to my daughter.
Exactly. Never let them forget her or anyone forget her.
This is the story that you've tried to bring forth with Project Cold Case for so many families. The frustration and the heartbreak they feel when the police do try, of course, very hard.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, they can't find the killer.
Right.
And eventually the case gets taken off the front burner. And you're trying to get all these cases back on the hot seat.
Absolutely. We wouldn't feel like every victim, every unsolved victim's story is worth hearing. And, you know, we couldn't publish a book that had all of them, but we have a good cross-section here from all across the country, including five or so stories that are more local to Jacksonville. But we wanted to show that this is an issue that covers the entire country, every demographic, and these are heartbreaking stories, and every single victim deserves to have their story told and ultimately to find answers and justice.
Now, Patty's story joins in the Grief Diary series, stories from some of the most notable people in the world, like Candace Leitner, the founder of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Dr. Bernice King, the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Right, right. Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we're very honored and happy to be a part of such a wonderful family. The Grief Diaries series is unbelievable. Literally, things like living with an eating disorder all the way to unsolved cases. They're always looking for ways to help people that are struggling through something in their personal life.
Patty, was contributing to this book and telling your daughter's story, was that cathartic and helpful for you in terms of healing in your pain and your grief?
It was very therapeutic for me. It really was. And it was hard sometimes going back and reliving those memories. But what made it possible for me is knowing that we were helping other people, other survivors. Mm-hmm. And that's very important because it was a long time before I found that.
Absolutely. And it's a club nobody wants to be in, of course.
Absolutely.
But Project Cold Case has been a passion of yours, Ryan, for people that have been thrust into this reality.
Absolutely. For me, there was a point where I realized I can focus on my dad's case for the rest of my life and probably be spinning my wheels. And it wasn't helping me emotionally. And what did help me, allowed me to heal, was helping other people tell their story. And so that's been a big part of this for me.
Now, Grief Diaries Project Cold Case is available in Amazon now. Where else can people buy this book?
It's on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. It will be available. If it's not available in the retail store yet, you can ask for it and they'll order it. It'll be available on our website, ProjectColdCase.org, very soon. And so, yeah, it's very exciting to see this available in so many different places, on so many different mediums, Kindle, paperback. It's an exciting project for us.
Yeah, sad to share the story, Patty, but I'm sure you're happy to tell your daughter's story to such a big audience.
I am. I'm very honored to do this. And like I said, it's all for others. It's there's a lot of survivors that participate in this book, and this was very emotional for them, very hard. And I give Ryan and everyone that contributed to it a big, you know, lots of support, because they really did a big thing by doing this and sharing their heart and helping other people.
Well, Linda Fell with Grief Diaries, she, you know, this is her passion to let people tell their story. And it is important for each of these survivors to tell their loved one's story. Mm-hmm. And then even more important is for other people to be able to read them and know they're not alone.
He's Ryan Backman, founder and executive director of Project Cold Case, based here in Jacksonville. Go to projectcoldcase.org. Also with us, Patty Lord of Jacksonville. Her story is told about her daughter, Carrie, in the new book in the Grief Diaries series. Pick that up as well. And thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much. Melissa.
We'll be right back.
When you're experiencing the in-depth content of WJCT, you know there's always something more to explore, regardless of the device. It's a special commitment sharing the world, and as such, WJCT is an indispensable service here on the First Coast. Truth is, however, that such content, whether you access it via television, radio, or various digital platforms, is expensive. Costs that are largely funded by people like you. So please, during this season of giving, stand up now for your cherished values of curiosity and excellence with your vital year-end investment. Your support makes it possible for WJCT to continue to share your community, your world. Do so today at WJCT.org. Thank you.
On the next Jazz Night in America, Eddie Palmieri and Harlem River Drive.
And my problem with Harlem River Drive is that I wanted a crossover. And you know who were my biggest fans? The anti-government movement, the Weathermen.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
Welcome back. It's a holiday classic, and this year there is even more incitement in store for the St. Augustine Ballet's production of The Nutcracker. This year's show features guest artists Jennifer Cronenberg and Carlos Miguel Guerra, both of whom are former principal dancers with the Miami City Ballet. Joy D'Elia and Tommy Bledsoe of the St. Augustine Ballet here now with a preview. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And people look forward to this every year, The Nutcracker at the Lewis Auditorium in St. Augustine. It's a magical show, and every year you seem to make it bigger and better. What's happening this year?
Well, we're really excited about our principal dancers this year. They were the face of Miami City Ballet for about 8 years, so we are excited about them. We have 85 kids that are on stage with local celebrities, Tommy Bledsoe being one of them. He's been in the show for...
And who do you portray?
I am Clara's father.
Okay.
For the eighth consecutive year.
Eighth year in a row, wow.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about the fact that we have 25 schools represented, the students who dance in the production, so it's really a great opportunity for them.
The kids must be so excited, and it's fun, and people need to bring their kids to this production.
It's for the whole family. You know, everybody knows the music, and, you know, I've heard it for 8 years now, and it's still, every time you hear it, it's like for the first time.
I know. It is magical. It's timeless. And the the music, the costumes, the set design, the dance, the ballet, all of it wrapped up together is such a treat.
We right. put a lot into it. Like you say, we change things every year, mix up the choreography a bit, add new costumes, and of course we always bring in principal dancers to kind of raise the level of our dancing.
And Luisa Bella is a wonderful director and choreographer there. Robert O'Leary is our technical director from Flow Arts, and we're really happy to have him.
And we are asking everybody who comes to bring a canned good for the St. Francis House pantry, food pantry. You know, we had the floods, and it was devastating for the St. Francis House. So,
oh, Hurricane Matthew, sure.
Yes.
Right. So we're hoping that our audience members remember to bring a can or two to donate to them.
Absolutely. Now, the Nutcracker is on stage in St. Augustine at the Lewis Auditorium at Flagler College. It's Saturday and Sunday. This weekend, you need to go to staugustineballet.com for tickets, but tickets are going fast.
They're going fast. You can also buy them an hour before each show. So come on down and come early. You know, it's a little tight down there parking on the weekends. So.
Two shows each day, 1:30 and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. It's the Nutcracker back again in St. Augustine. Get your tickets now at staugustineballet.com and enjoy this magical holiday production this year with principal dancers from the Miami City Ballet. Thanks for coming up to see us again this year, Joy D'Elia and Tommy Bledsoe.
Thanks for
tell
having
us about
us.
This
Thank
beautiful
you.
Show. That's the Nutcracker this weekend in St. Augustine. And here are a few other ideas for your weekend. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, thespectator.com's Carrie Speckman here today.
And I just had a troupe of backup dancers.
I know.
Which I've never had before.
We have a crowded studio today. We'll find out our mystery guest in just a moment.
That was awesome.
I know. You've got a whole cheering section here. So the Nutcracker is in St. Augustine. Very exciting.
Yes.
There's also going to be a Jacksonville production of the Nutcracker.
This is the Jacksonville Symphony's version where they play live. And actually, they're the kids. I guess it's Kids Day at the Nutcracker because they're all lined up today.
Very nice.
So that is Friday through Sunday.
But meanwhile, tonight, who can deny the power of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra? Coming to town again. They are in town tonight to perform.
20 years
of this.
Their rock opera, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve.
I've never seen them. I know the music, of course.
And it's very, it's not just music, it's video and all kinds
of. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is at the TU Center, too?
That is at the arena.
That's at the arena. Okay.
They could not have that kind of.
That's true.
Excitement and.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Okay.
Please. Go see them tonight. And then, oh, Saturday, it's the Black Expo.
It is. And they will have lots of entertainers. Demetria McKinney, who is a recording artist. David Banner will be speaking. And I'm totally going to mess this up. Naturi Naughton, N-A-T-U-R-I.
I think that's right, yeah.
She's I am a devotee of Power, the show Power. And so
you're a devotee. You used such a big word there. You're a devotee.
And you used propagate earlier. Promulgate.
I did.
You did.
It was my SAT word for the day.
Well done.
Thank
They'll
you.
Have also someone, Trinity Stokes of Disney's Casey Undercover.
Oh, that's a
kids zone,
big time, yeah.
Seminars, all kinds of fun stuff.
Okay, so that's Saturday, the Black
the
Expo at the Prime Osborne Convention Center.
Correct.
Also this weekend, it's the closing weekend of A Christmas Carol at ABET. That's
it
the
is.
Atlantic Beach Experimental Theater.
Correct. And this is not your traditional Christmas Carol. This is it's a whimsical play within a play.
Okay.
And their imaginative endeavors of a scrappy little troupe of players and their seemingly bottomless prop trunk.
That kind of sounds like our newsroom. Just a
That's
little
a
bit.
That's a band name. Prop trunk.
Prop trunk.
Live at Jab Rabbits.
A scrappy troupe of players. I
yes.
like that, too.
You had me at scrappy.
Okay, so that's ABET. Go see
Correct.
A Christmas
Last
Carol.
Weekend. Last weekend.
Also this weekend, the Giants versus the DMV Warriors.
Correct.
Saturday and Sunday, it's Handel's Messiah.
The Symphony is
at the Symphony.
Super busy this weekend.
And last but not least, the big enchilada.
Luminaria!
It's the Luminaria in Riverside, Avondale.
Yes, it's Sunday.
One of the biggest kind of neighborhood parties of the year.
That is correct. Also one of the biggest traffic jams of the year. So if you can...
I got caught in that once.
They
it's
recommend
not pretty.
Walk or ride a bike if you can.
I think that's very good advice.
Yes, that's
People
what I
just
will
get
doing.
Their holiday on at this thing.
Oh, they get
have
it on.
A good time.
They get it on and on.
I know. I think I'm going to have to make a little swing through Riverside
you
Sunday
You should do
night.
That. I will be doing that myself.
Well, you live there.
Well,
so
that is true.
You're one of the glitterati. You know, you
Luminati.
You hang out in that area.
The Luminati.
I just visit there. You know, yeah, the Illuminati. She's Carrie Speckman. How about another hand?
Yay!
For the spectator.
Now, I just want to remind you, our special guest who will be performing tonight, we have some tickets to give away. So I just wanted to remind you of that.
We do. We have a ticket giveaway for our mystery guest who is in studio. By the way, she brought backup singers with her. So she's kind of like
that.
Beyonce.
I know. Totally.
Like, do they strew rose petals in front of her, you know, as she walks along? Anyway,
practicing in a bathroom. I mean,
okay.
Come on.
Finally, this hour, it's a special holiday concert tonight at 1904 Music Hall from the amazing local talent Mama Blue is here. Good morning, Mama Blue.
Good morning. And actually, these are my co-creators because
okay.
my backup singers are probably at home in bed right now.
okay.
But no, songstress Kaylani David and Kristen Lee.
Yay!
Very nice. Yay. They are here to sing a
to
song
sing with, you.
With me today.
Now, we have a ticket giveaway, a pair of tickets for Mama Blue's show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Email us now at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. We will pick one winner at random. The unimpeachable Kevin Mershart, our producer, who can be trusted at all times, he will pick a winner at random. So email us now. But listen, we're going to give you a preview of tonight's amazing show. You guys are going to sing a little a cappella, is that right?
Yeah.
Ready? What are you going to sing for us?
Verses, and it's a song called Calling My Children Home. Yeah, that's about all I'm gonna say about it. I love this song.
I have a lot to say about that.
And I'm probably the only mama here, but you know, in this little group of trios,
cats.
They're so young.
I'm a mama.
So we're gonna go ahead and sing a couple of verses, and y'all email. I want to see y'all tonight.
All right, here she is now. Let's listen to Mama Blue.
Those lies were mine to love and cherish. To guard and guide along life's way. Oh, God forbid that one should perish, that one, alas, should go astray. Back in the years, we're all together, around the place. We'd romp and play. So lonely now, I oft-times wonder, oh, will they come back home someday? I'm lonesome for my precious children. They live so far away. Oh, may they hear my calling, calling, and come back home someday.
It's Mama Blue.
That's early, honey. Yeah.
Mama Blue and singers, but yes. You ladies sound amazing.
Thank you so much.
Now, if you've been listening, as I said, we're doing a ticket giveaway to tonight's incredible show. It's tonight at the 1904 Music Hall. It's Mama Blue's Holiday Hoopla. Yes. A pair of tickets to a random winner that emails firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. We're getting the emails right now. And 1904 Music Hall is on, what street is it on? It's downtown.
It's on Ocean. It's at 19 Ocean Street, and it's on the same block as the Florida Theater. It's just around the corner.
Have a great concert, ladies.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For coming in today.
Yes.
And thank you to everybody today. What a great show we've had today. Thanks for everybody's input, and thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our guests, callers as well. This show's producer is Kevin Merschart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on the WJCT app. And next on Diane Rehm, the crisis in Syria and Russian interference in U.S. elections. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and former National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley on U.S. foreign policy and the risks for the new administration. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 for our Friday Media Roundtable. Enjoy your Thursday, and right now, we need you to support us. Here's how.
The number you need to call is 353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528, or you can go online to wjct.org. Good morning. I'm Kevin Merschart, producer for First Coast Connect. If you enjoyed that program, all the great conversations, the music, the singing, give us a call. Show your support. Let's make sure that we can always bring you First Coast Connect every day, Monday through Friday, here at WJCT. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Go online at wjct.org. And hey, did you know that some of the companies match part or all of your contributions? You can ask your employer if they're a matching gift company. Some match 1-to-1, some match 2-to-1. There are some companies in town that actually will match 3-to-1. Your support, your donation to WJCT. What you need to do is, if they're a matching gift company, you can submit a matching gift request at work, and they'll send their donation to. And how about your business offering a matching challenge? We encourage businesses to help us reach our goal by offering a matching gift. Give us a call and let us know about that, and you can help us out. Great ways for you to support this station, and we need your support here at the end of the year. We jumped in here for this end-of-the-year drive because we fell a little short in the fall. We do need to pay those bills to make sure you can get programs like Diane Rehm and all the others that you enjoy. And don't forget, Diane Rehm, only a couple of programs left for Diane before she retires. But we're going to get you those programs, and you can tell that she's having some great guests, Madeleine Albright and others, coming on in these final days. It's terrific stuff to hear. We want to make sure we can always bring you programs like this, and Fresh Air, and All Things Considered, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and the music you get to listen to in the evenings. It's made possible because of support from listeners like you. So make that call right now, 353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528. And don't forget, for a $120 one-time pledge or become a sustainer at $10 a month, we'll send you our stainless steel water bottle, Give us a call right now, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. And hey, for $80, you can get the Hamilton mixtape. You may not be able to get tickets unless, you know, mug somebody in the streets of New York. But what you can do is get the mixtape for $80, a one-time gift. Just give us that call now, 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. We bring you great programs every day here on First Coast Connect. We bring you a great guest from all around. We get Lou Jacobson from PolitiFact was fantastic this morning talking about the big lie of all of the fake news and separating real news from fake news. And sometimes it's a little difficult for some people. Well, we never have to worry about fake news here at WJCT because, you know, what we tell you, we do everything in our power to make sure we bring you the facts. Not everybody wants to hear the facts sometimes. That's true. But that's not the problem. We want to make sure you want the issues, you want the real facts talked about. That's what we're going to bring to you every single day. That's made possible because of listeners like you. If you don't like that fake news, if you're just sick and tired of seeing that on your Facebook page, if you're just tired of correcting family members and saying, you know, that's not really a news story, that's a made-up story, stick with us. Just tell them, hey, stay with us here at WJCT. You'll never have to worry about fake news here. 353-9528, 1-800-722-9528. Go online at wjct.org. We're going to be going to Diane Rehm in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned, enjoy the programmings, and support your public radio station. And thank you very much.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.